Thank you, Lord. We bring those areas in our lives before you. We yield, we surrender. We say, have your way. Your will be done, Lord. Your kingdom come in our lives, we ask. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. The youth, you are released. Have fun with Moja. Amen. Well, bump your neighbor and say, yeah. Come on, you can do better than that. Well, welcome back to those that have been away. I'm aware that this is a funny time in Franschhoek. Franschhoek is a strange town in that sense. Some of us get to go away in December, and some of us work harder than we've ever worked before. So I'm careful to come back and ask people, so how was your holiday? And they just kind of look at me like this, like, are you crazy? What holiday? I've been doing double shifts for the past 2 weeks, and one is just aware of how Franschhoek's clock works, that in the traditional time when it's holiday, most of us are working. So I just want to encourage you, those that have come back from holiday, I hope you've enjoyed it. Those that have been working hard, the Lord bless you and keep you and give you lots of strength. It's nearly back to school time. I think the parents are the parents that are honest are breathing a sigh of relief. I've had my kids with me the last week and a half, and I'm not going to lie. I've been trying to work, study, and look after the kids, and this time around, I actually think I've actually done all right. My son came to me yesterday and said, "Pa, die vakansie was lekker." And I'm like, "Yes." I actually managed to get through it. I felt a little bit like this. There's this picture of this lady there. You guys got that slide up there. That's the name of the sermon. Next slide, Josh. Okay, she says, "I know school doesn't start till next week. Just walk slowly." Okay. I just want to say I did not do this. My kids are only going to school this week. I wouldn't lie. Once or twice I was tempted, but I did not send them on a long, slow walk. I kept them and fed them and looked after them. So this morning I'm wanting to share a message that's entitled "The Pillow and the Spade." And granted, that is a bit of a strange sermon title. It will all make sense in a second. So last week, Moja preached an amazing sermon, basically around Luke chapter 10. It was the story about Mary and Martha. And it was basically a call to us as a church to put first things first, to do the important things first, to major on the majors and not on the minors. And he did a really excellent sermon. I want to encourage you, if you weren't here last week, go online and have a listen to it, because I really believe it's the word of the Lord for us, how to start this year, how to start our days, how to start our weeks, our months, that eventually will end up being our 2020. And he spoke about Luke chapter 10 and the fact that Jesus basically comes to the sisters, to Mary and Martha, and how they respond differently. And we are given an insight, we are given a picture and an understanding of Martha's frustration with her sibling, with Mary. And she's clearly frustrated, she's clearly anxious, she's clearly worried, because she even goes to the teacher, to the rabbi, and says, "Lord, can you not speak to my sister?" So it's not like she's even calling her sister inside and say, "Hey, what are you doing? There's work to be done." You know, it's kind of got beyond that point. She even goes, she does the uncomfortable thing, and in front of the guest, she says, "Lord, guest, speak to my sister, because there's work to be done." And all she's doing is she's sitting at your feet. And Moja did this so beautifully last week. He had the mother's room pillow, and he had it down here, and he was down, oopsie. It was down like this, and he said, Mary was just looking up at Jesus' feet, or looking up at Jesus, sitting, lying at his feet. Goodness, I see why I'm not the youth pastor. He can do things like this. Anyway, we had this picture of Mary doing nothing to the frustration of her sister. She wasn't even saying anything. So she wasn't doing anything. Martha is like in the kombuis and there's a geskarrel and dishes are flying and the cupboards are being slammed because nobody's helping her. Maybe there's a whole bunch of people and immense kom and die tafel is nog nie gedek nie, but there's clearly frustration around the fact that there's a lot of work that needs to be done. And Mary is just chilling out on the pillow, lying, and not even saying anything, just listening. And Jesus says to her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and anxious about too many things. Your sister, Mary, has chosen the better thing." And so we were challenged last week around the fact that there are many things that need to be done. I don't know about you, but the year planner is in full operation. The lists are just growing. There's just so much stuff that needs to be happening. There's so many exciting, wonderful things that need to happen in 2020. Am I the only one that's got an ever-growing list? You go to bed at night, and when you close your eyes, you just see these lists against the roof. And I'm just aware there's so much that needs to be done. But we were challenged right as we want to get out of the starting blocks last week. It's like, it's fine. Jesus is fine with work. In fact, that's what this morning's sermon goes about. It goes about work. But let's start at the pillow. Let's start where you don't even say anything. Let's just start where you make time to listen. And that was last week's message. And in one sense, that represents the one side of the coin. And it's an important side of the coin. I want to tell you this morning that Jesus wants you to do work. He wants you to do amazing things for Him. But I believe, like I said last week, if you had to come in here into our service and give us advice, Lord, how must we start this year? I believe His advice would say, I know there's work to do, but start your day, start your year off by just coming to me and listening. We'll get to your prayer list now. Now we'll get to your faith goals in a second. All I want you to do is just to be with me, because that's what relationship is about. Relationship is not just about getting stuff and saying stuff and doing stuff. Relationship often is just about being in one another's presence. And that's where the change happens. That's where the inspiration happens. And so I believe the Lord is saying to us, on one hand, one side of the coin, yes, we need to do pillow time. And lots of pillow time. You know, I've been reading these little Joyce Meyer things in the morning. She's got a great little book that says how to start your day and how to end your day. A little book for the morning and the evening. And I've been reading the first kind of, where are we now? The 12th. The first 12 days of Joyce Meyer's How to Start Your Day. Joyce is one of the leading teachers of the word in our time. And she keeps on talking about the importance of starting your day right. And she keeps on hammering on the fact that it's make or break time those first few moments when you open your eyes. In fact, she takes it even slightly early. She says, you know what? Sometimes the devil will come for you even before you've opened your eyes. Man, and he's just waiting. He's just waiting because he knows if he gets you in the first 5 minutes of your day, grumpy, fearful, anxious, lack of joy, if he can just get you to swallow that pill, man, he's got you for the rest of the day. There he's got your day. And if he can do that day after day after day, he's got your weeks, he's got your month. When you open your eyes, he's taken you off the field and sidelined you for a whole year. The reality is the fight is on from the first moment that you open your eyes. You've got to choose life. And so I'm just aware of the fact that in the mornings, I got a choice. When I open my eyes and I wake up and I realize maybe I've not had a good night's sleep. You know, these days, we're doing musical beds in the Wade family, and it's getting quite interesting. Some nights are better than the other, and then it doesn't help now for the next week that, you know, it's going to be 35, 36, 37, 38. You know, it's like, how's anyone meant to sleep in those temperatures, and then you throw a few mosquitoes in there, and then it gets all exciting at night. We had how many, we were looking for a mosquito till 12 o'clock last night. So if my eyes are a bit bloodshot, it's the mosquito. Me and William found him in the bathroom this morning at ons het hom lekker pak slaag gegee. But the point is, you know, at best you're trying to get a good night's rest in, and then the choice is there in the morning. What will this day be like? And so what I've just started doing is I'm just becoming aware of the power of his love for me. I don't know if you parents, like one of the best things about being a parent is seeing your child sleeping. I don't know if it's just me, but no, like without jokes and everything now. Like just seeing thy porcelain poppies for our lay, or that handsome young man just lying there, and just, okay, every kid is each parent's perfection. But I mean, you just lie there and think, oh, they are perfect. Look at them just lying there. And I believe the Lord, I just get that sense that the Lord looks at us when we are sleeping, and he just can't wait for us to wake up and start our day. But to start his day in his love. Because that changes your day. That changes how you're going to take the challenges of the day on. And so the Lord, I believe, is calling us in those first few moments just to surrender to him, say, Lord, this day is yours. Lord, I receive your love over me this day. Lord, this is going to be a good day. Declare it in those first few moments. And that's, I believe, how we should start our day. And believe the Lord is calling us to that pillow time. He's calling us to that time where we are intimate with him. But there's another side of the coin. So the sermon is called The Pillow and the Spade. Die kussing en die graaf. Wow, Richard, what do you mean by that? You see, the pillow represents intimacy, being with the Lord. The spade represents doing for the Lord. And as I wrestle through this, I think, Lord, is the pillow more important? Was the spade more important? And I actually don't know. All I know is that if you don't have enough pillow time, your spade is going to get blunt. It might even break off. It might get frustrating to work with it. I think if you have better pillow time, you will have better spade time. Is it just me that has had that experience in life? If you've been at his feet, then being at the desk or being in your business or being wherever you do what you do to shovel, I think gets blessed, gets easier, becomes a joy. And you see the bigger picture around the spade, because in all honesty, it's more comfortable at the pillow. I don't know about you. I like being in that place. You know, sometimes the spade makes us sweat. The spade's normally outside where it's hot, where we are getting through the grind of our day. And so this morning's message is called The Pillow and the Spade. I'm wanting us to go to one of the richest chapters in Scripture, Ephesians 2. I'm going to read for us. If you guys can flight that for us, thank you. And you were dead in your trespasses. Sorry, before I read this. This is probably one of the most amazing pieces of Scripture. And it's the gospel in a nutshell. So hang in there with me. Just focus and let's just let these words kind of soak over our souls. And you were dead Paul's speaking to the church. He's speaking to Christians in Ephesus. He's saying, Christians, you in Ephesus, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Verse 4, but God. I get excited when the word says, but God. It means we were in trouble, but God intervened. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he has loved us. That's what we've been focusing on this morning. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Man, this is the gospel. He's saying we were like them. We were like those who were just given over to the lust of our flesh. I do whatever I feel like doing. Whatever this body wants, I give this body. Whatever this mind wants, I give this mind. And Paul's saying, you once were like them, like those sons of disobedience, just living carnally, living fleshly lives. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, he made us alive with Christ. It's not like he just made us alive. He raised us up in heavenly places with Christ, so that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. God is a merciful God. God is a kind God. God is a loving God. And then let's get to verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. And so Paul gives us the gospel in a nutshell. He tells us how we were. He tells us about God's intervention. He tells us about the love and the mercy and the kindness of God. And then he tells us about this faith that we have. He says, it's grace. It's by grace that you've been saved. He's saying any temptation that you may have to think you have done something to deserve this grace, put it away. This is a gift of God. This is something that's been given to you. You have not earned it. You have not bought it. You've not ordered it on the internet. It's been given to you. It's a gift. You receive grace. You receive grace by faith, so that you may say, Lord, I've got nothing to do with this. Nothing. I am holy. I am righteous. I'm forgiven solely because of what you have done. And then verse 10. Verse 10 is the verse I want to focus on this morning. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. This morning we're talking about the works. We're talking about the spade. Last week we spoke about the pillow, about intimacy, about being with God. This morning we look at the other side of the coin. Same coin, different side. It's not that that's not true. This is also truth. This morning we speak about works. And the reality is, although I think many of us would just like to stay there, we'd like to wake up with a bottomless cup of coffee and just have quiet time for 24 hours, and then the next morning, and then the next morning. But who knows, life does not work like that. Some people do that. I won't say who they are, but it's a flow grappy. But the reality is, this side of eternity, man is bound by the laws that by the sweat of our brow, we will toil the ground. We will work. And so I'm wanting to speak about works this morning. I'm wanting to speak specifically around good works. And where the Bible gets specific around good works is here, Ephesians 10. We're just going to unpack that word for word. The word for means there's a context. The context is grace and faith. It says, we are His. Everyone say, we are His. We are His. We are His what? His workmanship. Okay, so we are His. We are His is indicating ownership. It's saying we, as Christians, are God's. We are God's what? His workmanship. What does workmanship mean? His creation, yes. Yes, Derek's onto something. Yeah, He's fashioned us into something. What does the word workmanship mean? No. It's not work. Yes, Adrian. Yes, she's getting onto something I'm going to get to now. What's the Afrikaans mooi woord for workmanship? Yes, Silva's right. It's not even a word vakmanskap nie. The Greek word is poema, from which we get the English word poem. Paul's saying we are His poem. We are His artwork. We are His masterpiece. Everyone say, I am a masterpiece. Come on, this is, let it out. Just let it rip. I am a masterpiece. There you go. Some of us needed to get that out. Okay. A work of art is tied to its creator. Who painted this? Who wrote this poem? Who designed that musical instrument? Who made this? God is saying, I made you. We are His workmanship. We are His poem. We are His art. We are His finest thing. Next word, created. We're going to take this word for word. So we are His workmanship, created. God missed the whole industrial revolution thing where we do things by mass and scale. Once we've got something that works, okay, we just get a template and we make lots of copies. Boom, 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 boom. Make lots of these things because it saves time, it saves money, we can scale it, and the economics make sense. God does not do that. God creates. The word create means to make something out of nothing. If you get this, it's going to blow your mind. Each time God makes a human being, He doesn't say, well, look, I've designed that one with good arms and that legs, and I'm just going to use a bit of her hair and I'm going to put it on there because that will save me time. It will save me work. No. God, He gives a clean slate. Each time He makes Derek and He thinks about Derek. And the word says to us that before Derek was in his mother's womb, the Lord was already thinking about him. And He was dreaming about him. And he was thinking, Derek's going to live long. And Derek's going to be tall and handsome. And Derek, once he's given his life to me, he's going to serve me passionately. And he's going to raise other people up. And he's going to be an example to the flock. And my good works are for him, that he will run businesses that glorify me. I'm not speaking on behalf of God, but I'm assuming Derek is in God's will. And that what he's doing, those works, that when he picks up the spade, I believe that he's glorifying God. Because in a minute you're going to see that God and Jesus, they're into spades that give them glory. And they're into works that give them glory. Some of us think God doesn't do works. He says, no, 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 no. No works, no works. But we're confusing works. You will see there are a whole bunch of scriptures that tell us that by our works, we are known as Christians. By our works, we will be judged one day. In the end, the Lord is going to be interested in how much pillow time you spend. But you can't just spend time at the pillow, because the stuff that's going to be burnt and sifted and put through the fires of testing, it's going to be, what did you do? What did you do with your talents? What did you do with your hours, your years, your days? What are you going to do with the gifts I placed inside you? What are you going to do with those dreams that I've given you? What did you do? Did you go and bury it in the ground and say, Lord, I'll wait it out until I hit glory? The word's actually quite scary around people that do things like that. There's stuff that we need to do. There's works that we need to engage in that I want to share about this morning. So I want to tell you, you are His this morning. You His idea. You His creation. You have been fashioned and made according to His purpose, His plan. There's an old cartoon that says, God don't make junk. And that is so true. Because it says you've been created in Christ Jesus. That means when the Lord has looked at you and He's thought and He's dreamed of who you are and who you will become. Adrian spoke about that now. You see, we are not a masterpiece because of who we are right now. Who knows that when we're born, we certainly are not masterpieces. We just scream and eat and wait for the next meal and make stuff dirty. We are certainly not masterpieces. But the Lord does not look at you as an infant, as a baby. You see, He's designed you way back in the beginning. He said, yo, you're going to be 6 months and you're going to grow and you're going to grow up and you're going to become strong. And He sees your life. We can't see that because we're living here and now. Jesus is looking from eternity and He's seeing, wow, that's the complete Stephen, or that's the complete Derek. Now that is a masterpiece. Look how He's going to give His life to me. Look how He's going to start sharing the gospel. Look how He's going to deny Himself and take up the cross. Look at those kind acts, those deeds that he will do for me as He yields to me. See, we're created in Christ Jesus. If we're not in Christ Jesus, well, I would say I don't think He would say we're a good work. God does not make us existentially, does not make us outside of Christ. When he dreams of us, when He makes us, we all need salvation. We all need that day where He interrupts, where He interjects, where He comes into our lives and His goodness and His mercy picks us up out of our sinful lives and comes and rescues us. We are created in Christ Jesus. Okay, so we are His. We're created in Christ Jesus. For what? That's what the sermon is about. What are we created for? We're His. We're created beautifully. We're masterpieces. What's the point of a masterpiece if it's hidden in a cupboard? What's the point of a guitar if nobody ever strums it? What's the point of the most beautiful painting if no eye is ever allowed to look at it? You see, something that's created is created for a purpose. Say, I have a purpose. I have a purpose in 2020. Sorry, Nick. Previous one, guys. We are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Yet Jesus lets us in for good works. The good news is you're created for good works. Imagine we had a God who designed you just to do donkey work or just to do something. Your design, your purpose, your intention, the reason why you were thought up, dreamed of, was for bad intention. That's not God. When God created, right at the beginning, go and read Genesis. He makes stuff and then he says, it is. Come on, speak to me. It is good. Then he makes the next thing and he says, it is. And he moves on. And so the land and the sea and the fish and the birds and everything that God makes is good. So no surprise here. When he makes us, makes us very good for good works. Some of you don't believe this yet, but we serve a good God. We serve a good God who has good works planned for you. Some of you are going into this year with trepidation. You're thinking, Lord, what's coming? Is it from the left field or the right field? Is it from behind? Who's going to get me? And some of us are doubting the character of God. We are doubting the fact that when he thinks of us and when he's prepared plans for us, they're good plans. Does that mean you will never struggle? No. Does that mean you'll never need to endure? Read the Bible. It's clear. That's part of doing good works. But we serve a good God who's good works planned for us, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. I love this about God. He's a planner. He's thought ahead. He's not thinking, oh goodness, it's 2020. I need to figure out what all these people that I've made need to do. No. Before he made the first person, he already knew what you would do in this life. Sometimes I just let my mind go and I think about God knows everything about everyone that's ever lived, that's currently living, that will ever live, and he knows it real time. He's keeping up with Johnny in New York and Cecilia in Sydney who's going through a tough time. He's keeping up with 8 billion people that are thinking real time. He knows how many hairs are on their heads. And while he's doing that, he's keeping the solar system going as well, and no planets are flying into each other. It's just, God is just massive. And then he's good. And then he's love. And then he knows your name. God is amazing. And that's the God that we serve this morning. And so he's prepared good works beforehand. But here's the thing. You have to walk in them. You can do pillow time. You can know what the works are. But he can't come down here and walk in your shoes. You need to fill your own shoes. And you need to walk in them. This year my challenge, and this morning my challenge to you is, firstly, do you know what the good works are? And secondly, are you walking in them? Do you know what the good works are that the Lord wants you to walk in this year? And secondly, it's one thing knowing something, but are you picking up the spade? Are you getting it dirty? Are you using it in the right way, in the right places? What are you doing about the spade? And so this morning, I'm wanting you to reflect on your personal good works that I believe the Lord has in store for you. And we're going to do that in a minute at the end. We're going to pray. Because some people are like, you know what? I wish I knew. I would do anything to pick up the spade, but I don't know which spade to pick up, and I don't know how to use it. And we're going to pray for people like that don't know what the good works are that the Lord has in store for them. And this morning, also, serves as what we call in church Activate Sunday. So there are opportunities to serve in this church. There are opportunities to pick up a spade in this church. and get involved, get your hands dirty. And if I don't tell you about it, you won't know about it. So this morning is that opportunity. I'm sharing some of the ministries that we have in church where you can get involved. So where can you pick up a spade? Where can you get involved in church this morning? So let's quickly go through those. The first one is worship. I'm going to be speaking mainly about our Sunday ministries. So if you're asking me, Pastor Richard, where can I get involved this year in church? Some of you, I know there's some closet idol singers that just sing in the shower, that have not come out yet, and that are just waiting to come sing. So I want to invite you, if you're musically gifted, come and speak to us. Come and speak to Nadine, Vas Nadine. I think she's in the, there she is. Nadine is our worship champion. We got a champion for each ministry. So if you're interested in going for an audition, come speak to Nadine, and we'll set that up. The worship team is lots of fun. So if that's you, come speak to Nadine. Let's move on. Multimedia. Okay, so there are guys there at the back that make things happen, okay? That know when to make stuff louder and softer, that know what to do with all those little knobs. Now, if you're like me, a whole bunch of buttons and knobs just like freak me out, okay? But it's all right, because we've got the best in the industry training us at this moment. There's Aaron, just stick up your hand and wave at everybody. That's Aaron, okay? Let's give Aaron a hand. So Aaron has taken over from Brett, who did amazing work just setting things up. Aaron is basically a professional sound engineer and production guy. And he's been working the last 3 months with our sound team, with our media operators there at the back, and just been training them. And that's continuing for the next few months as well. So I want to tell you, if you're feeling slightly intimidated, but you don't know how you're going to turn what, Aaron gives you the training, okay? He's the best at that. We've invested in new speakers for our church. Hopefully you are hearing the difference. We have upgraded our keyboard and our systems. We are constantly striving to improve the sound and the multimedia in churches. So if you want to be a part of that, it's a very exciting ministry. Go speak to Aaron after the service. Let's move on. Our ministry number three that you can get involved is Kids Church. Can I get a whoop whoop? Yeah, Kids Church. Our champion there is not me. It's my wife, Jolene, the much better looking person there. So Kids Church is a wonderful opportunity. And I always say this, but Kids Church is church. It's just church for little people. And Jesus loves little people. So this is an opportunity where you can impact someone's life. Statistics talk about what they call the 4:14 window. The 4:14 window means between the ages of 4 and 14, Christian statisticians have shown that I think it's about 80% of decisions for Christ that stay in Christ, that continue with and for Christ, get made between the ages of 4 and 14. Incredible, eh? After that, the curve just goes down. People get their worldviews, they get their way of thinking. Once they're teenage years, they get into a groove and a rut, and that's how the world is, that's how I relate to different religions, that's how I relate to Jesus and the gospel. And so a lot more people, by far, make decisions for Christ between the ages of 4 and 14. If there was one area in church where you can have an impact, it's in the young people's lives. If you can nurture that little plant, give it water at the right time, get it to grow straight, man, we'll sort out half the problems we got in this valley. The good news is, you only need to do this once every 6 weeks. Jolene told me, net elke ses weke. I just need some more men once every 6 weeks. Ladies, please come and serve as well. But men, we especially need men in the ages from 2 to 7 and 8 to 12. Yeah, from 8 to the teenage years, those are the dad years. Those are the years when people need the father figure. So I want to encourage you men, come on. Once every 6 weeks, you just go be a man there, okay? You don't need to do anything. You don't need to prepare any lessons. Everything is prepared for you. There's curriculums that we buy. You literally just read it the night before. And there are people that do kind of the main teaching. What? Okay, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Okay. My wife is like cringing. I told you, you must do this part. But we just need men to come and be father figures to those young people. So speak to Jolene to get involved with the kids' church. Wonderful opportunity. The same goes for the youth. Mojo's doing an amazing work. A year ago, we said we need a youth ministry on Sunday. So a year ago, we started it. Man, it's been running each Sunday, and that youth group is growing. Be a part of what the Lord is doing in our youth in Franschhoek. I think this is the second last or the third last, is our prison ministry. Liesl heads up our prison ministry. We've still got an open door at Drakenstein Correctional Services. It's a wonderful open door that we go in on a Thursday morning, and we've got a discipleship group there. And once again, man, that's high impact ground that. You're speaking to people that have had rough lives, tough upbringings, made the wrong choices, paying the price for that. But the people we work with, they're Christians. And so we have church on Thursday mornings with those guys. And they're open, and new people get saved and come to Christ. And you have the impact of changing a person's life there before they go back into community. Wonderful opportunity. The reality is, once again, we need men there. We need father figures. We need male role models. So if you want to be a part of that, that's on Thursday morning. Come and speak to Liesl afterwards. And then our last but not least and very exciting flower ministry. And there you need to speak to Melisa. I think Juan would be just as good with flowers as well, but he's not the flower guy. Melisa is our flower lady. Now, I don't know about you, but they started, how long? Was it about a year ago, eh? It's probably about a year ago. So before that, me and Moja, we were the flower guys. Okay. So you would have noticed for about a whole year or year and a half, each week we had proteas. Because they're easy to buy and relatively easy to get hold of. And so each week we had proteas and proteas and proteas. And then praise God, they came to deliver us from our pain and lack of floweriness. And they came and started doing this. So each week there is a lady or a group of ladies that comes and does a beautiful arrangement of flowers. And here again, there's a budget that the church gives for flowers. Half the time they don't want to take the money because they pick it in their gardens, things which is incredible. But if you come onto the flower team, you don't need to buy flowers. We give you the money to get the flowers. All you need to do is on a Sunday morning, some of them come in like on a Saturday already and set it up. And but on Sunday mornings, you have the opportunity to make the church slightly more beautiful and to put a nice aroma in the air. So that's the flower ministry, and I think everybody saw how amazing the church looked on Christmas. You can go wild. You can hang stuff from the roof. It must just not fall down. But you can. I have no say over what they do. Each week it's a complete surprise, and I absolutely love the flower ministry. But they need some more ladies. So ladies, please, once again, it's something like once every 6 weeks or once every 2 months, jump into the flower ministry and get involved. Okay, I'm coming to the end of this morning's message. So, on your seats, you would have seen a little paper with those six areas on. It's a call to serve. Everybody get a little pamphlet and a little pencil. That's not to take home. That's for this morning. And so what we're going to do now is We're going to pray for two things. The first thing that I want you to pray for is your personal good works that you believe that the Lord is laying on your heart and on your path for this year. Some of you have a good sense of what that is. Some of you have planned the year out and you know exactly what you have in mind. And if you do, then great. What we're going to do this morning is just commit that to the Lord. Some of you don't know. And you're going to say, you know what? I don't know what good works the Lord has in store for me. Why don't you pray for me? We're going to do that this morning. The second thing that we're going to do is, and here again, there's no pressure to fill these forms in. But if you feel the Lord has spoken to you about an area where you can pick up the spade this year and get involved, tick a box, tick two boxes, and when you leave, exit, there's going to be ushers at the back. You just pop your little card and your pencil into the communion trays, and then we will have a good sense of where people want to get involved in our church and who we can call on to serve. I want to close off by saying this. The blessing of church is in our coming together. That's what Paul says. We are a body, different parts, different gifts. And we bless each other when we come together and each one plays its role and its function. This morning it's a call for you to get involved, to be who you are in church. And we get blessed when you served, when you serve. And so I want to pray for us now. Let's just close our eyes. Father, this morning we thank you for the truth, Lord, that we have been created in you, in Christ, that we are your workmanship, and that ultimately, Lord, we've been created for a purpose, and that purpose is good works. This morning I want to pray that by your Spirit, Lord, you would reveal to each person what those good works are. Father, that we would not just know them cognitively, Father, but that we would walk in them. That this would be a year, Lord, where we walk in the things that you have prepared for us beforehand. Lord, we just declare you're a good Father. You're a good God that's prepared good works for us. And I pray that nobody would be left not walking in those works or not knowing what they are. So I pray that as we wait on you now, Father, that you would speak to each person, Lord, just about their personal good works, what you have in store for them this year. And secondly, Lord, if you would have us get involved in one of the ministries here on a Sunday, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us to get involved and to serve. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's just take a minute or two. I just encourage you just to become quiet before the Lord. So Lord, I just pray for every person that perhaps does not know, Lord, what the good works are that you have laid up for them. I pray that by your Spirit, Lord, that you would reveal it to them. Lord, that you would end the frustration, God, of not knowing. I pray for those who desperately want to make a difference in people's lives and don't know where to get involved. Lord, I pray by your Spirit, Lord, that you would speak to them, God, that they'd hear your voice. God, that we'd hit the bull's eye, that we'd hit the mark, that there'd be no wasted effort, no wasted energy, God, no dead works. This morning, God, I want to pray that this church would not suffer the fate of dead works that don't accomplish much, Father. But I pray, God, that we would accomplish good works, your works that you've prepared. May we walk in them. May we be a walking church that's picked up the spade of good works, Lord. And your word says that you're glorified by that. Let men see your good works, that they may glorify your Father who's in heaven. Lord, your word says that, and we realize that our works glorify you, so may our works glorify you this year. Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. If there's anybody that needs prayer around, they don't know what the Lord wants them to do or where to get involved, we pray with you in the front. Otherwise, remember to drop your pencils and your papers in the offering basket. And see you next week. The Lord bless you.